You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you to preview the South African Open and the Hero World Challenge on this edition of the Golf Podcast, the final golf podcast this year. Dave Tindall joins me to look ahead to these two events. First of all, a warm welcome and a good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, Dave. Nice and early this morning, aren't we?
Yeah, we've got to squeeze it in before the racing guys come live in the studio around about 11:30. So we are recording this at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
Do you want me to respond to that?
Please, yes.
Yeah. Yes, we certainly are.
Did you see Tiger's interview last night?
Yes, yeah.
What did you make of it? Because it was never going to be an investigation into what happened in that car crash, was it? Because he's got a commercial relationship with Henny Koyak on Golf TV. It was a bit sad, I thought, the whole thing. He looked a little bit like an old man, didn't he, when he walked into the... They obviously set it up so he walked into the position for his interview. But he just his comments made me feel a little bit nostalgic and wanting of yesteryear to a certain extent, Dave.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, with sort of Tiger, even when he won the Masters in 2019, when he takes his hat off, he becomes sort of like an older man, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he should have had a hat on if I'd been his PR people or whatever. It's obviously good to see him walking in because we've only had snippets of how his recovery has gone. So that was good. But, yeah, there was a sort of, I don't know, sadness in the air about it. And it makes you think that even more so maybe that we're just glad 2019 happened.
Oh, yeah. I think that,
I don't know what else is left.
Yeah, it gave me the feeling that we are going to be in a world where Tiger Woods isn't going to be competitive on the PGA Tour again, and maybe he'll have a ceremonial role playing at some of the tournaments that he holds closest to him, and maybe he'll play in a couple of majors again as well. But I think the likelihood of him competing for PGA Tour titles in the future diminished with that interview last night.
Yeah, I think so. It's sort of a bit of a reality check, wasn't it, on what Tiger's got left in the tank. And you can't just keep going to the well of magic and hoping you don't put in the hours and you can turn up and beat all these guys who are now sort of sensational. So, yeah, you just don't know what he could produce. You'd like to think somehow he'll get on a leaderboard somewhere and the memory will kick in. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of thinking... I'll just be glad to see him playing, but in terms of winning, I think that's a different story.
It was his first public interview since the car crash, Dave. Do you think he'll be asked tougher questions in the Bahamas this week?
Well, you don't know, do you? You don't know. It's his tournament. I mean, it's about providing money for charity, so maybe they'll go easy on him. Obviously, reporters who will be there, they want a future relationship with Tiger, so they can't just throw him under the bus, as it were. Probably not a very good analogy, but there's a time and a place, maybe. I'm not sure this is the week.
Okay. And just away from Tiger, we had the match as well, Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau, and Koepka whipped him, basically, didn't they? And DeChambeau was really poor in that match as well, and I didn't see any of it, but any of the coverage personally, but I was following it, tracking it on Twitter, and it seemed entertaining as the match often is. But Koepka dominant in that win over DeChambeau.
Yeah, we didn't see it. It wasn't on UK television, was it?
No, TNT carried it live streaming, didn't they? So you could access it in the United Kingdom if you wanted to.
Right, yeah. No, I wasn't sufficiently moved. I mean, I did write a couple of previews about it, so I was kind of interested, and I thought DeChambeau would win, because I thought by the time they actually got to play it, I thought all the heat had gone out of it, and therefore DeChambeau would feel a bit more relaxed about the whole thing.
Yeah.
But as it happened, and I thought Koepka wouldn't be bothered, as it happened, Koepka, you know, he's beat him in over nine holes. I mean, you play that again, the reverse might come out. Mm. So, yeah, it was, it's done, it's on the record. I'm hopefully that kind of little episode is done, because it was getting a bit dull, really, wasn't it, there?
Yeah, I think that was kind of like the death knell in that rivalry.
Drawing a line under.
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about this week's two events then, the South African Open and the Hero World Challenge. We'll have a quick word on the South African Open first. Christian Bezuidenhout is the 5-1 favourite. Gary Kigo and Dean Burmester both 10-1. Dylan Fratelli is 11s. Johannes Veerman is 14-1. Sean Norris 16-1. Wilco Nienaber is 22s, and it's 25-1 and bigger than S. This has been downgraded from a DP World Tour event to a Sunshine Tour event because of COVID, and the big-named Europeans that were in South Africa, in inverted commas, the big-named Europeans, have left South Africa as quickly as possible to get back into Europe. It leaves us with a talented field of South Africans, really, Dave, and the news that it's still going to be broadcast on Sky Sports with the team presumably already out there is welcome for most sports fans, I guess. And it's being played at the Gary Player Country Club at Sun City again, same as last year. Christian Bezuidenhout won last year's South African Open. That was his second win in succession, following the win at the Alfred Dunhill Championship the week before. And it's good that he's returned to defend his title. Maybe he's found splitting his time between the PGA Tour and the tour formerly known as the European Tour a difficult task, but he's made maintained his consistency for the most part, Dave, and thought he was a worthy market leader this week.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what his price was last year. Was it bigger? Was
I think he was around maybe? About sevens or eights last year, I think.
Sevens or eights, yeah.
Yeah, slightly bigger.
Yeah, so he's obviously got that win under his belt. He didn't have much course form last year. They play some local events here, the Sun City Challenge, but he'd had a couple of top 25s at the course, so it was, which you could read negatively or positively depending what case you were trying to build, but he did come in flying form and got it done, and which was good because there was pressure on him to do so, and he showed what a feisty, doughty competitor he is. And if you look now at his record, in the last four starts he's made in South Africa, he's won three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, on those numbers, 5-1 is just fine.
Yeah.
But there's some good younger players up against him this time. I remember sort of this event going back in the years, you thought, well, it's going to be between Ernie Els and Retief Hoosen and maybe a couple of others. Then maybe we had the era of Schwartzel, and Oosthuizen, but they don't ever seem to bother playing in it anymore. So now it's a little bit more wide open in terms of maybe there's six or seven at the front end, and all of them are not exactly on the same level, but similar-ish. Mm. And yeah, I do think it'll go to a big name. Obviously, you can try and dig out your each-way value to fill some of the places, but I would imagine one of those top six or seven in the betting will get it done.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? It's a long course, isn't it? Measures just under 8,000 yards, but played at altitude. The ball flies a mile, which negates some of that yardage. I've not got an official pick for the event, or given it's a Sunshine Tour event. Have you got one? There was a few those younger names that you mentioned, you referenced, alluded to, the likes of Nienaber at 22s and Jaden Schaper at 35s, and Tristan Lawrence, who won that 36-hole event last week at 50-1. What ones that stood out, but I do think it will go to one of the top, well, one of the top four in the betting, I think, if I had to pick one, Dave.
Yeah, I don't know what Jaden Schaper was doing last week. I actually opposed him in a match bet, so I was quite happy that he he was sort of 7 under after about 12 holes when I looked.
Yeah.
So he missed the cut, a bit of a concern. Yeah, I'm going to put up a bet, I think. Just one. You kind of hit the money there when you were saying the top four. So I'm going to go for the fourth favourite in Dylan Fratelli.
11-1.
It's one of those ones where you look at some of his form and you think this is such a drop in grade that, you know, he really should be contending heavily. I mean, you can go back to fifth place in the Open Championship as you know, real evidence what he can do, but maybe just some more recent stuff. For example, right at the end of October, he was 22nd in the Bermuda Championship in a PGA Tour field. Then two starts later, he's got 19th at the Houston Open, you know, in another solid PGA Tour field. So he's doing it in that kind of company, getting these top 25s. And then it's difficult to know what would have happened in Joburg last week, but because it was only 36 holes. But he was 12th at halfway, so he was playing some decent stuff there. He's actually ranked first for driving distance, I noticed, and 7th on approach. So there were some stats recorded. So has he got the course form? Yes, he has. So he's played this course 3 times. The Nedbank Golf Challenge, 42nd on first look in 2017. Improved to 21st in the Nedbank again in 2018. And then he was 3rd last year. So he's got a nice combination of course and current form. And even though that's a fairly basic way in, you know, it's pretty... You can't really pick many holes in the argument. I know he's only 11-1, but he's really got not much to beat. And it was Zadenhout is a little bit off. Higo's a bit in and out. Bermester slightly underwhelming last week. I think Fratelli can certainly get in the mix, and that's what I hope for. So I'm going to just put him up just as a sort of little bit of an interest at 11-1.
Very good. Let's move on to the Hero World Challenge then, Dave. And some of the world's best players are in action this week for Tiger's event in the Bahamas. And Albany Golf Course hosts the tournament again. It's a par 72, measuring 7,309 yards. And it's an Ernie Els design as well, this one. Looks like a links venue, but doesn't necessarily play like one, although the wind can be a real factor. Recording this Tuesday morning, as mentioned earlier, weather conditions look quite benign. The advanced forecast. It's a little bit like Kapalua in many ways. Space off the tee, 5 par 5s, looks linksy, but you play this course through the air, and taking advantage of the par 5s is key as well. The betting is headed by Rory McIlroy at 15-2 here with William Hill. We are actually top price guaranteed on the top 5 plus. We are paying 5 places this week as well on the Hero World Challenge. Colin Morikawa is 8-1, Victor Hovland 11-1, Justin Thomas 11-1, Bryson DeChambeau is 12-1, Jordan Spieth is 12-1, Xander Schauffele is 14, Scottie Scheffler and Tony Finau and Sam Burns all 16-1, and it's 18-1 and bigger the rest. What are your thoughts on the dynamics of Albany Golf Course and this event from a betting perspective?
Yeah, it's not punter-friendly in terms of the fact that, well, maybe I shouldn't say punter-friendly, but it's not statsman-friendly because there aren't any, are there?
No.
They don't record them. So you're making guesses at what you need to do well here. I mean, and you can make guesses. You've alluded to Kapalua there as something there. You look at the winners, that's obviously another way in. I mean, I've just looked at the list of winners in this event. It's always a limited field event. If you go through, it started in 2000 when Tom Lehman won at Greyhawk, and then it moved to Sherwood in California for a lot of years. I've just totted up, I think there's 21, so there's 21 editions. I can only find 2 non-major winners.
Okay.
In that bunch. And one of those was Luke Donald, former world number one. The other one is Ricky Fowler, not a bad player. So they were, to be fair, if you've been picky, they weren't all major winners at the time. But clearly, it's not like the guy who's invited in 20th place. It's not full of surprises, put it that way. So, I mean, Tiger himself won it 4 times, Davis Love a couple of times, John Rahm, 2018. I suppose Stenson was a bit of a quirky winner in that his form hadn't been great and hasn't been great since, really. But generally, you're looking at someone who makes lots of birdies, good on the par fives. There's certainly some links to people who've played well in the desert before.
Okay.
You look at some of those, well, just reading from the top, on the sort of exposed desert courses, you've got like Stenson, great record in the desert, John Rahm, Fowler's won in Phoenix. Tiger, obviously. Well, they're all good players, but yeah, there is a little bit of a link to those who've done well there. And obviously a lot of them have played well in coastal events as well, haven't they, as well? They've got quite a few Open winners. Lehman, Woods, Harrington, McDowell hasn't won an Open, has he? Zach Johnson, Spieth. A lot in there, so...
And McDowell hasn't won an Open, but his US Open win did come at Pebble Beach, didn't it? So
it did, and I suppose if you're just sort of saying good links players, you'd throw McDowell in the mix, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
They're all good players in the field, obviously, but there are sort of little ways in. Another one was a lot of the winners at Albany had come in really nice form, maybe apart from Stenson. Rahm, Fowler, Matsuyama and Bubba Watson had all had a top four on their previous start.
Okay.
So if you're slightly showing that end of season sort of fatigue and you're not quite up for it, then maybe, you might be in holiday mode and not find it. So sticking with those who've done well. I am surprised in recent weeks. I am surprised. Why would Rory be ahead of Morikawa in the betting?
Yeah, that did surprise me, actually. I'd have had Morikawa slight favourite over McIlroy this week, personally.
Morikawa can go to world number one, can't he, if he wins?
Yes.
And in the past, that's sort of weighed heavily on players, but for him, he is one who'll just see that as an opportunity.
I'd have had Morikawa ahead of McIlroy in the betting, personally.
Yeah, surely.
Yeah, especially after what happened in the desert in the DP World Tour Championship with Morikawa mowing him down.
It's like we've just had absolute evidence of the one you want to be on these days in a tight finish. And yet, neither of them have played the course. I don't see where Rory's edge is coming from, really.
I suppose people might look at the length
of money.
Yeah, the length of the golf course, and it looks like more of a McIlroy course than Morikawa, but we said that in the DP World Tour Championship as well.
We keep saying that. We keep saying, oh, maybe this isn't Morikawa's course. We said it in the Open Championship. It's like,
yeah,
every course is Morikawa's course.
Mm. Have you got a bet in this, Dave?
Yes, I have. I've got two I'm going to put up.
Okay, I've just got one, so I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I was a little bit reluctant to play those too short in the market because I thought there's a lot of really classy players here. You can go deep down the betting. And I found one that I like at a decent price. I thought Webb Simpson was a good price at 20s.
Okay.
I mentioned desert form. He's won in the desert, won in Phoenix. I just think he's under the radar. I think in a normal year, you'd find Webb Simpson maybe sort of 12s, 14s if he was in perceived good form. But, I mean, his form really isn't too bad. You go back to the Open Championship where he was 19th and he's got six top 20s in nine starts from that Open to the RSM Classic. And even more so in the last couple of weeks. So, last couple of starts. He was 14th in the CJ Cup, closed 66-65, and then 8th at the RSM Classic last time, where he closed with a pair of 66s. So he's shooting the low numbers that you need to do here, making lots of birdies. And he did it at the RSM with some superb tee to green play. First tee to greens, picked up 11.97 shots on the field, and perhaps even more so, first on approach, picked up 9 shots on the field on approach. So really impressive numbers. He just didn't putt so well, but... You know, it gained 3 or more strokes in 3 of his previous 4 starts. So I think that was just maybe a bad week. He did say he'd been working quite hard with Butch Harmon in recent times. So because he's had this below expectation year, Webb Simpson, I think he'll see this as a chance to sort of get one in while he can, while some of the others maybe have their heads turned. So I think he'll be giving it absolute the full 100% this week. Course form, he's played it once a couple of years ago, was 10th, which obviously in a field like this is only midfield, but it's okay. He just started slowly with a 73. I think it's a course that he can play well on. He's played well in Hawaii events. I just thought 20-1 was like a little buzzer went off in my head.
I thought,
Webb Simpson in a very limited field.
Yeah.
And the fact that his long game seems in such good shape. I think maybe he could give us a bit of each way value at 20s, and we're fifth, five places. Mm. So I think he can definitely make the top five.
Yeah, I don't mind that bet at all. I've gone with similarly on the same train of thought as you for someone at a bigger price this week, and the one that I liked is Justin Rose at 25-1. There's just been signs that he's returning to his not quite his ball striking best, but definitely improving in that sphere recently. It's quite an obvious selection given he resided in the Bahamas until moving back to London this year, and he's logged so many rounds at Albany Golf Club as well. And he's got a good record at this tournament too, having finished 5th, 3rd and 5th in his last three appearances. And the clincher is his recent form. There's been a lot to like about his ball striking. He did ride that hot putter, didn't he, to decent finishes at the Masters and the PGA Championship earlier in the year. But he's gained strokes tee to green in two of his last three measured events, and most recently finished 12th in the RSM Classic, where he picked up almost five strokes tee to green, and he gained in every single category on that occasion as well. I think he's shot par or better in his last 11 rounds, so he's clearly found his groove. So in a tournament where his comfort levels are bound to be high, I thought with five places on offer at 25-1, Rose was decent each way this week.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad you've got him, because he would be next for me, be on my first two. I mean, he did well in the majors last year, so it's.
Yeah.
I think when a lot of the world's best gather, I think he feels part of it again. I think he just feels comfortable in top company and raises his game rather than shirks. So yeah, I definitely like Rose. My other bet, maybe he's not an amazing price, but it's kind of, you don't know how good he's going to become. So I'm going to go for Sam Burns at 16-1.
Okay.
One of the angles this week is it's Bermuda greens, and that's Sam Burns' favourite surface. He won in Florida, his first win this year. Where was that again? Valspar, wasn't it? Yeah, won at Valspar. He was only ranked 91st at the time. I was checking out his world rankings just to see what climb he's made. So at the end of 2020, which would have been when this tournament would have been, it got cancelled last year, this tournament, but this time of year, end of the year, he was only 154th. So he's made rapid strides. I mean, he's 18th in the world now. So that victory at the Valspar lifted him from 91st to 44th. You thought, great, he's inside that top 50. And then he's just kicked on again. He's won the Sanderson Farms again on Bermuda. And the thing I like about that second one was that it was won with 22 under, and I can see that sort of score doing it again this week. You look at the last four winners at Albany, three of them minus 18, Rahm won with minus 20. So he's definitely got it in him when you... Valspar was tougher, but... The Sanderson Farms when he got it done in a birdie fest. And then, yeah, he's really good at shooting low score. He's just a fantastic young player, isn't he? So you don't really know his upper limit. Second in the FedEx St. Jude, where he posted a pair of 64s in that one. And his latest form, I said before, the last four of the last players here had finished in the top four in their previous starts. That doesn't apply to too many this week, and you don't want to take it absolutely literally, but the idea being that just, you know, you've got to be in decent form, and Burns is definitely with that. Seventh in the Houston Open on his last start, fifth at the CJ Cup before that, 14th at Shriners, which, you know, should really be in a top 10. He just had a poor final round, won the Sanderson Farms before that at the start of October. So you go back to June and he's had one finish outside the top 21. So this is a player in absolutely superb form. Yeah, like a few of them, he's not played the course before, but I'm just taking him on talent, and hopefully he can get in the mix here, because I think of all the kind of form guides of some of the players, you can find little weaknesses. I think he's just one of the absolute form players, and I think it makes sense to keep backing him until we see any signs that he's cooling off, but certainly not at the minute.
Very good. I like it. Sam Burns, your second selection. Were there any others on your mind? I'm interested to see how Brooks Koepka plays this week. He's not got great course form, has he? But the change in equipment doesn't seem to have done him any harm. And I just wonder whether he'll be inspired by beating DeChambeau and then coming to Tiger's event where there's a field of top-class players. I worry about it being in the Bahamas to a certain extent, because he clearly, same as the event in Mexico, he goes there and he has some fun as well as playing the golf tournament, doesn't he? And that just slightly concerns me with Koepka. But I'm just interested to see if he's ever going to be bothered about these other PGA Tour events, or like this exhibition event, for instance.
Yeah, I certainly looked at him because you thought maybe last week it just got the juices flowing a little bit more and he can kick on from there. But I think when I looked at his course form, it put me off, because I think he's had a few goes here and done nothing.
Yeah, that's it.
I did think, again, you sort of attracted to the bottom end, and because you're thinking, why should some of those players be double the price of some of the others when you can say they've had similar years or similar achievements? But Patrick Reed always gets you going, doesn't he, as someone who's overpriced.
Yeah.
He's got really good form. He's got a second, a third and a fifth. So clearly does like this place. Loads of rounds of 65s, loads of 66s he's shot. Third last time. Yeah, his form's gone a bit patchy, but he was second at the Bermuda Championship, which you could certainly
use
as relevant.
Yeah, you could. We didn't get any stats for the Bermuda Championship, did we? But you look at his stats in Houston, he was a negative across the board, wasn't he? And then finished down the field at Mayakoba subsequently, having finished second at Bermuda. I know he's got good course form, but that was enough of a concern for me, I think, this week with Reed.
Yeah, there were some sort of old school stats for Bermuda, and he finished first on the all around that week. Putting was a particular strength, but we've seen, Reed can make up for some weak areas in other parts of his game with the putter, and the short game, and he always loves something. I don't. He's one of those ones. He does like certain courses where you can be a bit creative. He's clearly liked it here. His worst performance is 11th, but as I say, second, third, and fifth. So he's been in the placement only three times out of five. He's certainly one that I'd be a bit wary laying him at 25s, because I think you just don't know with him. You just don't know. Who was the other one I was thinking of? I did have half. This is going back to long-time podcast listeners who will recall what we do this time of year. I did think about combining Fratelli and Morikawa.
Oh, in a little each way double.
Yeah, maybe I should. It's the last. This is our last one of the year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
That double, I've got to, because it's a lovely, nice round price as well. It's 101-1.
Okay. Each way double on those two.
World Challenge Fratelli to win the South African Open.
Yeah, I like it.
That's screaming half a point to me.
A silly season each way double.
Yeah, I think so.
Very good. Shall we wrap up then with the selections this week? Start off with your pick in South Africa.
Yeah, so I'll go Dylan Fratelli. I'll go 1.5 each way. I think I'd still like to collect some money if he comes in fourth or fifth.
Yeah, and half a point each way double with Colin Morikawa at 8-1.
Yeah, just if I've not put Morikawa as a bet in the other one, but for doubling purposes, I think he's a good man to be on, and that incentive of becoming world number one, could be key.
And your selections in the Hero World Challenge?
Yeah, so I'll go a point each way on Webb Simpson at 20s and a point each way on Sam Burns at 16s.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a point each way on Justin Rose at 25-1 as my selection this week. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened this year as well. It's been our pleasure. You can follow us on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. This is the final podcast this year, so wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we will be back next year. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this edition of the Golf Podcast, and myself and Dave, we will be back in 2022.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.